This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for Cradle My Heart Radio. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, to be able to bring to you voices of hope, voices of encouragement, voices that are working alongside others to fulfill the mission of this program, which is preventing abortion and helping those whom it hurts. And one of the most effective organizations out there that is working on that cause is Students for Life of America. They have a very ambitious goal of abolishing abortion in our lifetime through the next generation, the generation that is in college and getting ready to take the reins of our culture, as we launch and think about their future. And so to talk about that and Students for Life of America, we have on the program this time rejoining us, Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America. Kristen, welcome back to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thanks for having me.
It is such an amazing thing, Kristen, that we spoke a number of months ago, and you laid out so clearly what some people would say is an extremist agenda, abolishing abortion. And, you know, I've heard that point of view many times in the past. It's my heart that no one would ever have to choose abortion, that it would be truly become unthinkable. And yet your confidence in that vision, I think, really made me bolder to go ahead and talk about that as a viable goal. And so before we do anything else, I want you to cast that vision for us, because some people aren't familiar with it, and some people would buy into a media label saying this is an extreme point of view. But instead, I think this is one of the most rational points of view that I've ever encountered when we're talking about abortion. Tell me the vision of Students for Life.
Well, you know, I think for so long, when we talk about abortion, I think a lot of people think of it as this ongoing fight, that we're going to fight abortion. You know, we're going to do our share, and, you know, I might go out and pray in front of an abortion facility or attend a pregnancy center fundraising gala once a year. But that's really it. Because for most people, it's this ongoing fight. It's just something that's always going to be there. That, you know, they just never see the end in sight. And so when you look at, you know, successful sports psychology, you look at successful social movements in our nation's history, you will find that those who won believed they were going to win, and they talked about it frequently. A football coach doesn't tell his team moments before they run onto the field, hey, good luck, but you're going to get your butts kicked. He says, we're going to win. We're prepared. We've done the work. We're going to win this battle. We're going to be victorious. And then the team believes in their hearts, in their minds, that they can pull off a victory, that they can actually do it. And they will fight for that victory. And I think that's just, it's shifting that in people's minds from fighting abortion to ending abortion. If you know you can end abortion, you're going to do a lot more. You're going to talk to more people. You're going to make sure that you just don't go to that pregnancy center gala once a year, but that you go and you volunteer frequently, that you make an appearance in front of the abortion facility multiple times a year praying or sidewalk counseling women, because you're in it to end it. You're not in it just to add one little, I'm not just one little soldier in the fight. I'm in it to end it.
I think for too long, Kristen, we have bought into this rhetoric that, I'm not against incrementalism. If we can save some, that's better than none. But we've bought into this idea that because of some public opinion poll that asks questions in skewed ways, that we have to say that, well, it's acceptable to think about some abortions, which means it's acceptable to think about killing some innocent human beings. And it somehow, if we put it into straight language, that's extremism. And so I really appreciate the clarity of your vision and the unapologetic approach that you take, because I think that it is a winning strategy. Kristen Hawkins is our guest. She's president of Students for Life and also author of Courageous, Students Abolishing Abortion in This Lifetime. And Kristen, I want you to talk about a post that you shared, or that I found on the Students for Life blog that everybody can access, and we've got linked at cradlemyheart.org, on how to answer Planned Parenthood's supporters. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you, being a stay-at-home mom, or a work-at-home mom, I should say, have a child in the background helping you with the interview today. No, please don't be, because I think it really adds to the poignancy of your personal work in this. You know, people may not know that you are a mom of small children as well as a mom of a special needs child, and you have so many personal stakes in this whole issue of life. And you've put so much of yourself on the line, not only, you know, for your family and your organization, but it just out of your own life. So
thank you.
I thank you for that. I think that was kind of dear. Who are we hearing there, by the way?
This is Gracie. So she's my first girl, my fourth baby, my first little girl. So she's three months old. So she's just sitting here cooing. She's looking at my computer. She travels all across the country with me. I like to travel with them until they're about 6 months. And then when they get to the crawling phase, it gets a little difficult. But they're good little travelers.
Okay, awesome. So if you think of it, chuck Gracie into your prayers this week. So, Kristen, let's talk about this brilliant way to counter people who are still standing with Planned Parenthood. You know, as we are recording this, I believe 8 videos now have been released by the Center for Medical Progress, and the media pretty much stopped paying attention after the first two, when Planned Parenthood did issue some sort of a response saying, no, these are highly edited, it's very misleading, everything we do is within the letter of the law, and it's very ethical, and it helps people. And so the media has sort of picked up that answer. And everybody who wants to believe Planned Parenthood and wants to advocate for abortion rights says, there's nothing to see here, let's just move along. When later videos became much more explicit in showing the illegal nature of what Planned Parenthood does, and the fact that, you know, there's always a death involved in every single abortion. So how to talk to Planned Parenthood supporters, I think, is really an important topic, because we need to be armed with the facts, and we need to be able to have some ground to stand on. And one of the things that I still am hearing people repeat, and legislators repeat, is that we can fund Planned Parenthood because they're a healthcare organization, and they only, you know, only 3% of their business is an abortion business. How do we answer that?
Well, I think it's very simple. You know, Planned Parenthood has done, I think, a very good job of getting out this 3% abortion myth. I don't think most people know who the Vice President of the United States is, but they can tell you that Planned Parenthood only does 3% abortions. And I find it fascinating, especially on college campuses, when people, you know, students who are completely uninformed about local news or what's going on somehow have heard this 3% myth. And that's what it really is. It's just a myth. If you go to Planned Parenthood's own annual report, and you look up services that they provide to pregnant women, there are only a few options: prenatal care, abortion, or adoption referral. Now, Planned Parenthood doesn't actually do any adoptions. They just do referrals, and the referrals, I think, are like 1 in 180 abortions. So they don't do very many of them. And if you look very plainly on their annual report, you will see that if you are a pregnant woman who walks into Planned Parenthood, there's a 94% chance that you're going to walk out without your baby. 94% of pregnant girls who walk into a Planned Parenthood receive an abortion. It's very plain and simple. It's right there. There's a chart on Planned Parenthood's own annual report that lists all the services they provide. And if you're a pregnant woman, there's 3 services that you could get: prenatal services, adoption referral, or abortion.
And I think that there's a video that Students for Life produced that shows how this works, and how the ratios and playing with the numbers can give you a 3% figure or the reality that, you know, if you are pregnant, 94% of the time you're not going to be pregnant after dealing with Planned Parenthood. And, you know, so, but if, and if we stay on this argument, Kristen, the 3%, why should that matter, even if it were true, in terms of taxpayer support of Planned Parenthood? I mean, even if we accept their number, why is this problematic for people who don't want their tax dollars going for abortion services?
Well, I mean, this is problematic because we believe as pro-life activists, as people of faith, as pro-lifers, that, you know, abortion is wrong. Abortion is the intentional killing of a vulnerable, pre-born human being that's never existed before and will never exist again. And I, you know, so it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter if 3% of their services are abortions or 11%, which is the true number, of their services are abortions. Planned Parenthood commits abortions. Planned Parenthood gets $500 million in taxpayer funds from you and I every year. Every year we're giving them $500 million to do their work. They are the largest abortion provider in the United States. They commit over 327,000 abortions every single year. That's a third of all abortions in our country. They are responsible for lobbying against any common sense pro-life regulation, laws that, to protect women, laws that make hallways and abortion facilities wide enough for gurneys to fit through, laws that require an ultrasound. A woman has to see an ultrasound of her preborn child before she has an abortion so she knows exactly what's inside her. These common sense laws, they're responsible for lobbying against all of them. They're responsible for giving millions and millions of dollars to leaders in Washington, D.C., in form of campaign in-kind and cash campaign contributions. This is the leader of the abortion industry. So if we believe abortion is the intentional killing of a human being, we can't tolerate Planned Parenthood at all because they're killing human beings. They're killing persons.
Kristen Hawkins is our guest. She's president of Students for Life of America, and we're going through how to talk to people who still support Planned Parenthood, even in the light of the expose from the Center for Medical Progress, which shows that their operations are illegal and unethical. So some people will say, Kristen, that the videos don't prove that Planned Parenthood has broken laws and that fetal tissue donation is legal and that they never make a profit. Or they just cover their costs, transportation costs, and there's nothing to see here on these videos.
Yeah, we have a video for that, too, disputing this myth that they're not selling the aborted babies. They're simply getting reimbursement for their time and their cost. This is called double dipping. This is called double billing. When you charge a patient $450 for a surgical abortion, that money goes towards the staff that commits the abortion, the use of space for the abortion, the tools, the disposal of the child, the medical disposal, which is actually very costly, and administration costs, the secretary who set up the appointment, things like that. Then when you go and you get, quote-unquote, reimbursement for that aborted child, you're just double billing. Because why wouldn't women be getting discounts off of their abortions? If they really weren't double billing, the abortions would numbers, the cost would drop for women because the Stem Express or whoever is buying these aborted babies is coming alongside and paying for the abortion, essentially. And you can see in the videos very clearly the abortionist, the one that took place at the Denver Mega Planned Parenthood facility, the abortionist talking about, you know, charging per piece that they get because they never know how viable each organ will be. Depends on what technique the abortion is using, what's been crushed during the abortion. So it doesn't make sense for the tissue collection company like Stem Express to pay for the whole body of the child, just pay per piece. And you saw that again in the Houston Mega Planned Parenthood, which the head research director of the Planned Parenthood said, yes, it's all a matter of line items. And they're just going to go line by line and just tell you how much they're going to get per piece of an aborted baby. I mean, this is clearly wrong. They're clearly making a profit. You had Abby Johnson. She went on the record. The state of Texas held an investigation 2 weeks ago. Abby saying that they were making over $100,000 a month. in the sale of aborted babies.
So we know that they're just stonewalling when
they're
say
lying.
No, there's no profit here. They're lying. Okay,
this is what they do. They've lied time and time again to American people. They lie to women every single day. They're lying. Why wouldn't they lie on this? They lie for everything else. And I think that's what people need to understand. Like, this is an organization that's committing abortions. Most pro-choice people that I know would never, ever be able to commit an abortion, to actually go into the operating room and extract that baby piece by piece and put that baby back together to make sure all the pieces have been collected. We know this. I know this from working in medical schools. I meet many medical students who say that they're pro-choice, and I ask them, well, would you be willing to commit an abortion? And they say, oh, heck no, I can't do that. Because they know innately what the procedure is. This is an organization that does that every single day. Every single day they lie to women and tell them that they can't continue on their education. They can't achieve their career goals while staying pregnant. They lie to women and tell them that what's inside them is just a blob of tissue, and then turn around and quote-unquote sell that blob of tissue for its organs and for its parts.
Mm-hmm.
They've known that it's a child inside of her.
Yes. We had a beautiful story from a listener named Ruth who called in a few weeks ago and said she went to Planned Parenthood. She was in law school. She was told you'll never graduate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the lies you've just laid out. And she made a choice to make an adoption plan and got her law degree and has a very successful career in the law. And not only that, but she recently was reunited with her son. And she said the relationship is not ideal, but the reality is she never married and she never had other children, but she now has 3 grandchildren as a result of not listening to the lies of Planned Parenthood. And so it's powerful for you to expose what they say as lies when they tell a woman you'll never fill in the blank.
That's right.
Because of this pregnancy.
That's
so
right.
Let's talk about people who still believe that Planned Parenthood is a caring organization. They're just giving health care. I think that's what their
yep,
anti-protest
right.
banners on the weekend when in I think it was August 22nd, when there were over 350 protests and thousands, tens of thousands of people showed up to rally for defunding of Planned Parenthood. Some Planned Parenthood locations held up banners that said, you know, it's health care. And there are some people who still believe this, that, you know, if Planned Parenthood didn't exist, poor women wouldn't have
sure.
health care. How do we answer that?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, you have to keep in mind that Planned Parenthood has abortion quotas. So they don't just perform and commit abortions out of the goodness out of their heart. A girl who's come in who's in a tight spot, who's having some sort of crisis in her life, who the pregnancy is highly inconvenient for. Most people tend to think that's what Planned Parenthood does, that they're just there, they're the backup in case, you know, something happens and something's awful going on in her life, and that, you know, really having an abortion would be the easiest decision for her. What you need to understand is that Planned Parenthood actually has abortion quotas, which means that every facility that commits abortions has to sell a certain amount of abortions every single month in order to meet its financial goals. And I think that's very important in shifting in people's minds. They're thinking about Planned Parenthood, just being there to help women in crisis, to, oh my goodness, they're actually selling abortions. If you have a quota and you're in a sales business, you have to meet that quota, right? You have to go out
right.
and get more clients. If you're selling paper, you have to sell X number of reams of paper every month. And if your normal clients are coming to you and they're not buying enough reams, you got to go out and market yourself. You got to bring in more people who are going to say, yeah, I want your paper. That's what they're doing with abortion. I think the other fact you have to keep in mind, especially when you're talking to pro-choice friends and family, is that there's over 13,000 federally qualified health centers across the country. Fairly qualified health centers, community health clinics, rural health clinics that are out there that vastly outnumber Planned Parenthood clinics. That they're the ones, they're actually getting federal funds, and they provide care all through the pregnancy. They provide care before pregnancy and during pregnancy and after pregnancy to people who are truly in need and who need that help. They're out there, and we're already paying them with our taxpayer funds. We don't need Planned Parenthood. We have over 3,000 pregnancy resource centers across the country who are there providing material support, love, and help to women who are choosing life, who need that extra support. There is no need for Planned Parenthood.
Mm. What about the idea that, and someone said this to me on Facebook recently, why, you're a hypocrite, you've already benefited from fetal tissue research, polio vaccines. We're pioneering cures for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's through using fetal tissue. And these babies are dead anyway, so you should shut up and go away. How do we answer this notion?
Well, there's a couple of things. Yes, there has been research done for vaccines on fetal tissue. I don't know if those were taken from aborted babies or if they were taken from miscarried children. We don't know, and I don't personally know. I do know when you look at stem cell research, for example, which is what they're today, what they're collecting these babies for, these aborted babies for, there has been zero cures from embryonic stem cell research. That the stem cell research that's providing the cures are from coming from adults. They're adult stem cell research.
The abortions that Planned Parenthood did in order to harvest that tissue posed no threat to the women. And so...
And we know that's a lie. You look at the videos that have just come out from the Center for Medical Progress for the past few months, you will see the abortionists on tape discussing how they can modify their abortion technique, their procedure, to get more of the baby whole. That's against every medical ethics standard out there. That if a woman says, yes, I want to donate my fetal tissue, my baby's tissues, to research, they modify their procedure to get the baby more intact so they can harvest more organs from that baby. That's illegal and that's wrong.
Well, and some of the gestational ages discussed in the Center for Medical Progress videos were also outside of the law. If there's a state that had a 22-week cut, there were discussions of 22-week gestational age fetuses being worked on. By Planned Parenthood. One of the things I want you to talk about this too, Kristen, because I think people don't understand this, that when there is a partner such as Stem Express or Novogenix or whoever it is taking the tissue, you know, what I understand from Abby Johnson and others is that that person is on site at the Planned Parenthood facility. And there's no, in other words, they're working hand in glove with Planned Parenthood on the bodies of those fetuses. Is that correct?
That's right. And that even makes our case against double dipping stronger, because then what's Planned Parenthood's real cost? If the aborted baby is taken immediately to the Stem Express employee, the Stem Express employee, as Holly, the former Stem Express employee in the CMP videos indicated, she was the one mailing out the baby parts every day. It wasn't even Planned Parenthood going to FedEx and shipping the dead children. It was her.
And, you know, Planned Parenthood tried to say on their Facebook page that, well, Holly O'Donnell, it didn't work for Planned Parenthood, as if there's some sort of, you know, she was way across in some remote location doing something Planned Parenthood was completely unaware of, when in fact she was on site at a Planned Parenthood facility. Well, Kristen, we're just about out of time. Bottom line, I think I want you to address the heartache that comes when people choose to remain blind to this truth, when people fail to be persuaded. I know that you stay in this fight day in and day out, and you deal with the lies, and you deal with people whose hearts are hardened. If you can give us a word of encouragement, give those listening who maybe are new to the struggle some bit of hope that helps you and sustains you to keep you strong as we struggle to abolish abortion in our lifetime.
Well, you know, I think we have to think about who's really in charge here, and that we are just mere soldiers in this fight. I think you can see, you know, just in the past couple months how the Holy Spirit has been working throughout our country and really bringing these issues to the forefront, uniting people across the country, making people think about abortion and reconsider in a way that never before possible. And I think that's what helps sustain me as you go day to day in this fight, is that, you know, we're merely doing His work. And that helps, because when you think it's all on you, you tend to get a little more stressed out and you tend to get more worried. How am I going to do this? And the question is, how is He going to do this, and how can I help Him do that.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kristen, and God bless Gracie. And you'll find links to Students for Life of America at cradlemyheart.org. Kristen Hawkins, thank you so much for being our guest this time.
Thanks for having me.
And now stay with us as Cradle My Heart takes a look at the top news stories of the week on the Cause for Life here on Faith Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us on this live portion of tonight's Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're so glad that you are here. It's been another busy week in the news. We could talk about the GOP presidential debates. So much of the pro-life issue was covered by all of the candidates I was encouraged to see our issue get the attention that it deserves. And in fact, a vote took place. We can talk about that too. There was a majority that voted to defund Planned Parenthood at the end of the week here. Many say it will not survive a veto from President Obama. He's already promised to veto it, but all the same, that passed by a majority in the House and Senate, and so that's something we could talk about. Our phones are open for you right now at 1-800-811-3003. Kim Cotola, and ready and able to talk about whatever's on your mind, too, at 1-800-811-3003. One of the things that got quite a lot of play in the press is a strong statement by Carly Fiorina challenging President Obama and Hillary Clinton to watch the Planned Parenthood undercover videos, the sting videos. And she chose to characterize one of the videos in a way that people seized upon and said it was inaccurate, and some said she was lying, and it became a thing of its own. And we'll deal with that, too, because I think it's important that we be able to take a look at what the facts are and who is actually making accurate statements about that. So we'll get into that, too, and we can talk about that if you like. And one thing that happened in the news that I think was also extremely encouraging this week is that Kermit Gosnell, the imprisoned abortion doctor, has been ordered to pay $4 million in the death of Kayamana Mungar. He's convicted of killing babies born alive, and also giving a lethal dose of Demerol to the woman, Kayamana Mungar, who was under his care at age 41 when she died. Lawyers say it's unlikely that that Mungar would be able to, that her family is likely to be able to collect the judgment. However, it's still a blow for justice. The imprisoned former doctor, Kermit Gosnell, is broke, and his shuttered clinic didn't have insurance. He's serving a life sentence without a possibility of parole after being convicted for killing three babies born alive and Mungar's overdose death from the painkiller anesthesia that she was given improperly. The person who administered it wasn't even a nurse or an anesthetician. Investigators described his clinic as a chaotic house of horrors that was in a grand jury report, replete with fetal remains in the staff refrigerator, specimen jars of severed feet in his office, dirty medical instruments in the surgery rooms. And his case, I think, provides a very key and very interesting precedent, because many people are objecting to the idea that the fetuses that are depicted in the Planned Parenthood videos, some say outright, well, they're stillborn, even though you can see, again, the heart beating through the tiny paper-thin skin on the fetus's chest, and you can see legs moving. Some are saying, you know, well, obviously this is not a baby that's alive. Those are reflexes, and you can't say that it's alive. But that's what the jury decided in the Kermit Gosnell cases, that when those children showed signs of life, when either he injected the digoxin, the poison, to the heart too soon before the birth, or for whatever reason, when there were signs of life, the jury found that it was incumbent upon him to revive and save those children, and to do everything possible to not then commit infanticide. That's what the jury decided in the Kermit Gosnell case in 2013, in three of those cases. So the fetuses that were depicted in the Planned Parenthood video that's in question that Carly Fiorina was referencing, those were footage, those were stock footage. There were two different fetuses, and they were both stock footage. One was of an abortion in the aftermath, and one was of a baby born too soon, and the parents had the footage and provided it. They were not intending to abort that baby, but both of those babies were born too soon. They were not a viable age yet, a gestation, about 20 weeks. Nonetheless, it is not permissible to go ahead and kill them, particularly if you are not the one who brought about the fetal demise. That's what the Born Alive Infant Act was all about. And, you know, it's a really interesting conversation entering into it with people who don't view the unborn as human. Or they've put a line in the sand after 20 or 21 weeks or 22 weeks, whenever some other marker of development would occur that would allow this practice to go on. And so by referencing that marker and denying the humanity of the fetus, of the unborn child, until that time that they feel that life is valuable, then they don't ever have to address the practice. They say it's just a medical procedure. It's not another human being. There's no moral question involved whatsoever. Kyle Wingfield, I think, had a great piece in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and you may read him in other outlets, too. I believe he's a syndicated columnist. But he says, look, abortion apologists' attack on Carly Fiorina is beside the point. And he says, you know, so the latest line from abortion apologists is that she got it wrong about Planned Parenthood during Wednesday's debate by referring to the undercover videos made by the Center for Medical Progress. And as regards Planned Parenthood, anyone who's watched this videotape, now this is the quote from Mrs. Fiorina, I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama to watch these tapes. Watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking, while someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain. This is about the character of our nation, and if we'll not stand up and force President Obama to veto this bill, shame on us. So there are some who labeled this pure fiction, Wingfield writes, and he says the truth, though, isn't that simple. And he does what all of the people who objected to Fiorina's remarks failed to do. There were several left-wing blogs, and Vox, I think, was one of them, other outlets that and websites that covered this but never showed you the video in question. Well, you can find it in Wingfield's piece, and he gives you the time signature for what, you know, when the you can see the fetus, and he notes that there are two things going on here that viewers ought to be able to discern, because earlier in the video, Holly O'Donnell, who used to work as a procurement technician for STEM Express, which harvests the parts, began describing a scene that she witnessed at a Planned Parenthood clinic in San Jose, California. And she goes on to describe someone saying, these are O'Donnell's words, "I hear her calling, 'Hey, Holly, come over here. I want you to see something. It's kind of cool. It's kind of neat.' So I'm over here, and the moment I see it, I'm just flabbergasted. This is the most gestated fetus and closest thing to a baby I've seen. And she's, 'Okay, I want to show you something.' And she has one of her instruments, and she just taps the heart, and it starts beating. And I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at this fetus, and its heart is beating, and I don't know what to think." So after some other clips, the video returns to O'Donnell and says, she's like, "Do you know why that's happening?" And I knew it why it was happening. It's an electric current. The nodes were still firing. "I don't know what that constitutes. It's technically dead or it's alive. It wasn't completely torn up, and its nose was pretty pronounced. It had eyelids, and its mouth was pronounced. And then, since the fetus was so intact, she said, 'Okay, well, this is a really good fetus, and it looks like we can procure a lot from it. We're going to procure the brain.' So the moment I hear that, I'm thinking that means we're going to have to cut the head open." Wingfield writes, O'Donnell goes on to describe what she had to do to procure the brain, but it was toward the end of that second clip that the image that Fiorina described appears for 9 seconds. And the critics point out that the image is markedly different from the rest of the footage. Well, it says right in the corner prominently that it's courtesy of the Grandom Collection and Center for Bioethical Reform. So either that's deceptive or it's clearly marked, Wingfield says. I mean, I watched it before any of this controversy arose, and I saw it quite clearly. And it was quite clear that Holly O'Donnell was sitting in a room talking about something that she was describing, and now you were being given a picture of a fetus at that age of gestation. Wingfield says, in other words, it's clear the image is intended to show what a fetus like the one O'Donnell described would look like. It's obviously not the same fetus, because if there was footage of the actual incident she described, the viewer would see that instead of hearing her describe it sometime later. So in the absence of the actual footage, the filmmakers show what the fetus would have looked like. Why? Because we aren't used to seeing such images. And we don't like to think about what the body of an aborted child about to have its organs harvested looks like. So was that intended for shock value? Wingfield says, damn right it is, pardon my French, but he says, but anyone who thinks about it at all understands what is going on. The issue here is they're talking about before you hear O'Donnell, and this is me now, not Kyle Wingfield, but they're talking about not giving digoxin or potassium chloride to kill the fetus, to bring about fetal demise, in order to be able to have a better quality specimen to harvest. That is really important, and the video is not explicit that that is what is going on, but that's what Carly Fiorina was talking about when she said, you know, let's be sure that we take care of it. So when let me get her words exactly. She said, while someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain. What she's talking about there is the withholding of digoxin and potassium chloride. And that's discussed at length in the video by some of the other doctors and some of the people on the from Advanced Bio Research, which is another one of the fetal tissue research procurement outfits. And it's to these issues. Now, this is Kyle Wingfield again. He says it's to these issues that Fiorina was speaking. Could she have phrased her comments slightly differently? Sure. She could have said that the video show a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking, while someone talks about being forced to harvest the brain from a child just like it. That would have been completely accurate and substantively the same. But would the abortion apologists have found something else to criticize instead? And he says, yes, of course they would have. And this has been my experience as well. You know, people have, I put some things up on Facebook detailing. There were a couple of websites that detailed where you can look at this video. Here's where this is shown. Here's where this is shown. Here's where this remark appears. Here's where this remark appears. But they are not interested ever in addressing the practice of what is going on. And even Hillary Clinton was asked about it the following day because so many mentioned her in their remarks about abortion. And she said, well, if you have a problem with abortion, you know, it goes beyond Planned Parenthood. That's a separate conversation you have to have. If you have a problem with, you know, fetal tissue for research, that's beyond Planned Parenthood. That's a separate conversation you have to have. You know, you have to, and she actually laughed when she was confronted with some of the things that she has stood for. And again, what would that conversation look like, Mrs. Clinton? What would that conversation look like? That is the question still to be answered by so many who are apologizing for so much. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and it's time for a short break. Our phones are open, 800-811-3003. I know we covered a lot there, and if you haven't seen the videos, we do have them posted and some links to the articles we've referenced to on our Facebook page. That's the best way to find most of it because it's happening a little quickly for us to put it on the blog. But go to facebook.com/cradlemyheart, and you can link up to the articles we've been talking about. Stay with us, and your phone call's coming up right after this.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks for being here with us tonight, and I'm glad to have you listening. And if you want to know more about our guest, Kristen Hawkins, in the first half of the program, please go to cradlemyheart.org. And I think she just does such an outstanding job of meeting the arguments for from Planned Parenthood and disassembling the dissembling, I should say. And also, you know, thinking about how best to offer counters to some of these arguments. And there's a great resource that's available. We talked about it a little bit last week, but it's now been released. And it's a new series, a 13-episode series called Life is Best. And they put the first episode up on YouTube. And again, we've got that linked on my Facebook page at Cradle My Heart, which is facebook.com/cradlemyheart. And it's going to be a 13-week series with Scott Klusendorf of the Case for Life and the Life Training Institute talking about what is the unborn, which is the central question that we have to grapple with. And, you know, as I was talking about the fact that people just don't see the unborn as human. And so then if they're not human, well, it doesn't matter. There's no moral imperative. It doesn't matter at all how we treat them. We can abort them. We can use them for fetal research. We can desecrate their remains, if you will. It doesn't matter. And that's happening too, sadly. You know, that there is mishandling, as we saw in the Gosnell case. But it doesn't matter if they're not human beings. And if you decide that that doesn't happen until late into the third trimester, well, all of these other things are on the table. No pun intended. And here's the thing that I think is so important about this Life is Best program. It helps you understand why that is not so, why the unborn are fully human from conception, and they have moral value from conception, and how to discuss that and articulate it in a kind and winning way. And so I'm really excited about it. I had a chance to share my story, just small bits of it, and more importantly, to share the wisdom that God has poured into me through so many guests like we've had on this program who've helped with the healing journey and the truth from God's Word that, you know, when he has opened up the Scriptures to me. So I hope that that's a resource that you will access. They're going to be airing it on the NRB station and on several Christian television stations, and I'm still awaiting a broadcast schedule so that you can watch it for free. But that first video is posted on YouTube, and so you could, I think their channel, let me double check for you, I've got it here. Their channel is called Life is Best. So if you would just put Life is Best into the YouTube search bar, that first episode will come up. And it's Scott Klusendorf addressing the question, what is the unborn? You know, one of the things that that happened today that I wanted to share with you is in our Sunday school class, the lesson was on God's provision. And we were studying Psalm 34 about what a good God we serve, and about how he's so reliable and he's so trustworthy, and he enfolds us when we seek him. It says, I think, in verse 7 of Psalm 34. But as we were studying the psalm and reading it together, I was reminded of something that I heard years and years ago when I had the opportunity to interview Norma McCorvey. She's Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade. She's a real person. Many people I meet don't know her story, don't know she never had an abortion, don't know that she was a person whose life was extremely adverse. She had already surrendered parental rights to her mother for two of her other children, and she went to an attorney to talk about getting an abortion in Mexico because she was working at a carnival and I believe had drug problems. And the attorney said, well, we're going to take a case to the Supreme Court. Would you like us to argue that in your favor? And she thought that meant she was going to get the abortion she felt she desperately needed, so she agreed. They told her to lie and say that she had been raped because it would be more sympathetic in front of the court. She did. She had no idea what they were doing and how they were using her. And by the way, by the time that the case was heard, she was too far along and she gave birth. She never had an abortion. She went to work in the abortion industry because they embraced her fully. And she became a darling of the liberal left. Gloria Allred was her representative and took her around for media interviews. And they were very pleased to have Miss Norma on their side. Years went by that way. And one day someone opened a pregnancy center next door to the abortion facility where Norma was the marketing manager selling abortions to other women. And they would talk to her and they would be praying outside and she would just ignore them because there were also, you know, violence and harassment going on outside her home in Dallas at the time. That wasn't happening from the people who had become her business neighbors, but she was wary, and I would say probably rightfully so. There were people on the fringe who were violent and not behaving well. I think they threw a brick through her window. I can't remember all the details, but she was wary with cause. But one day, the daughter of one of the women working at the facility, a little girl named Emily, invited Miss Norma to go to church with her. And it started her on a path that led to her conversion. And when I had the chance to speak with her, I've interviewed her a couple of times when I was working in General Market Radio, but we presented a post-abortion healing conference, and we had invited her to come and be our keynote speaker. And she had agreed to do that, and it didn't work out. At the last minute, Focus on the Family sent her to Uruguay to testify before their parliament, and she felt it was very important that she keep that invitation because Focus felt that if Uruguay fell, that would mean the continent of South America would fall and abortion would become legal everywhere. And I'll never forget our phone call when she called to tell me about their invitation. She said, it's such a dilemma. Should I come to your conference or should I go and save a continent from abortion? And I'm laughing, thinking, well, I think we both know what the answer to that question is, as much as we'll miss having you at our conference. But something that Norma said came back to mind today as we were reading Psalm 34. There's a verse that says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. That's in verse 5. So Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1, says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And she said to me, the millions and millions and millions of children who are not here, the empty swings on the playgrounds all across this country, she said, I feel so responsible for. But my hope is this, when I look to the Lord, my face is radiant, and I will never have a face covered with the shame of that because of who the Lord is and what he has done. And then in verse 7 it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. It's his very presence that he promises us. And friends, if this debate and all of the wrangling and some of the political talk is difficult for you because of an abortion or more than one abortion in your past, please take heart from Norma's words. When we look to the Lord, we begin to have radiant faces, faces never covered with shame. Please take that to heart. If you want to know more of her story, by the way, it's in the book, Won by Love, written with Gary Thomas. Norma McCorvey is her name. Pray for her, by the way. She's still seeking to have that law changed. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.